So, Susan, to start off, you've been reporting on, for more than a year, Colorado's safety net mental health care system. When the state back in the 60s closed all of the mental health institutions, in place of that, they created what they called a safety net system to supposedly catch, you know, all of the most vulnerable people in our communities. And that's what we have today. But your reporting found, however, that that safety net system isn't actually catching people as it's supposed to, and especially the most vulnerable people. Can you tell me about the system and what your reporting has uncovered?
Yeah, so the safety net system in most states, including Colorado, are private nonprofits, but they get their bulk of their money from tax dollars. And in Colorado, we have 17 of them. They're regional. For example, 10 West Slope counties are all under the umbrella of something called Mind Springs Health. So I had done a story in December about problems with Mind Springs. And after I did that story, lots of whistleblowers came forward to talk about other problems with the centers. So the story on Sunday said, based on these whistleblower accounts, that for at least 9 years, non-clinical workers were told to fill out these state forms about clients blindly. So they're basically just told to like guess or put down any random diagnosis for that person. But what was really key on these state forms, these CCARs, whether or not they improved under the treatment, these administrative people filling them out, falsifying them, were told to just put down at least one or two numbers lower to show improvement. And so what Mind Springs was doing was painting an inaccurate picture of itself through this falsification, which the people who were doing it themselves say is fraud. And, you know, the reason that's it might sound a little administrative and inside baseball and wonky, but, you know, this comes in a context of so many people on the Western Slope in their coverage area saying, I had to wait 11 months for a appointment, or I got fired from care. They wouldn't, or, you know, they wouldn't treat my child, or, you know, they didn't help me. And I actually got worse in the hospital, not better. And so that's the relevance of the story.
I want to play a clip from a panel discussion you hosted this week. You asked one of your panelists to talk about his experience with Mind Springs Mental Health while he was trying to seek treatment for his teenage daughter, who is bipolar, and at the time needed somewhere to go. Here's a clip.
In my struggle to keep my daughter alive, it felt like my pursuit of care involved roadblocks that I had to overcome. That began with the first ring of the phone in the Mind Springs office, with the first person who answered that phone. I was beginning an uphill battle to attempt to seek care. I'm blessed with the capacity to communicate. I'm blessed with the capacity to read and comprehend. Not everyone starts with that position. So it's lost on me how phenomenal a failure of equity it is to have a graduate degree to attempt to understand the system that's caring for your child. There was a time in my life where I felt like I didn't have very much more time in this world and that my death was going to come at my own hand. And when that happened, there was a door through which I could walk and ask for help. And that's what I did, and they saved my life. And here in my experience in rural Northwest Colorado, I don't think I would have survived that experience, because there is no such door through which I could have walked and appealed for help. And that was what I was granted, and that was not the experience I had with my daughter. And those are failings in our community, and they result in deaths.
Susan, give us some context. What about this clip did you want to share with people on Wednesday's panel?
Yeah, that was Russell Goodman. He's a father in Steamboat, who really used to be, I think, a medical doctor and had a back injury and had developed an opioid addiction and has really come back from the bottom. And also the experience of having a teenage daughter with a severe mental illness who he could not get care for Mind Springs. They kept, you know, firing her. And he said, and I feel the same way, it kind of gives me goosebumps to hear. I think all parents many parents can relate to this, especially if you have teenagers. You know, he just felt like he was a bad father because his daughter was hurting and he couldn't find the care she needed. He also felt like a bad person because he's criticizing, you know, mental health experts and people who, you know, at least on the surface and probably, you know, deep inside have really good intentions, but are part of and so invested in this calcified system that they don't take reform well. They don't take criticism well. And so he actually felt like a bad person for just raising questions about the quality of their care. And I mean, to be perfectly honest, I know you don't hear journalists speaking this way, but I will right now and say, I feel that too. They're very sophisticated at making people who are raising questions about the system feel like they're monsters. That's a real thing that doesn't get talked about a lot. Like, this is the thing. The people who are really being hurt here are the people who need help, the people who are thinking about walking into traffic, you know, the people who don't know when they go to their job that if they come home, their kid's going to still be alive, right? People who need medication that they can't get because they have to wait months and months for an appointment while they're in, you know, while they're psychotic or they're in crisis. Those are the people who have it far worse than I do, but you know, those are the people who are also made, you know, and advocates and certain lawmakers and certainly the media to feel like it's just verboten to challenge the system, to raise questions about it. And that needs to stop.
Well, Susan, people, including lawmakers, have responded to your reporting. And just last week, Colorado lawmakers passed a bill that is largely in response to your team's investigation. The new bill will create an agency called the Behavioral Health Agency. It's supposed to oversee and clean up Colorado's mental health safety net system. I'm curious, do you think that things will actually change, or is this more about rebranding?
Right. Well, that's such a good question. I mean, the proof will be in the pudding. We really don't have answers to questions like, will there be more auditors popping in? And are they going to review these CCARs I've been talking about or any paperwork that they have to fill out for accuracy? I mean, and I think in some ways, the answer is not really about the policy so much as the culture created in these state agencies, right? I mean, it's still going to be true that the director of HCPF, Healthcare Policy and Finance, will remain the same. And even though, you know, in front of the cameras at press conferences and public events, she touts an unprecedented culture of cooperation with the behavioral health officials in the other department, you know, what's really going on is what's always gone on, which is a lot of territorial, you know, I don't do windows, it's the other department's policy, or even worse, just really bad blood. So, and in fact, they had an event last week where the state officials representing these two departments were, you know, touting the new leadership at Line Springs, the interim CEO who looks like he'll be getting the job permanently, who has really, from our perspective and from the workers, and the patient's and client's perspective just dug in his heels. I mean, he has said publicly, put out a letter saying, you know, our reporting was all inaccurate and it's off base. And his spokeswoman literally wrote another reporter on the West Slope saying that I and my reporting are going to kill people because people won't come for help to Mind Springs when they need it. But completely glossing over our reporting that shows misprescribing there very likely has killed people. We have mentioned the cases. We found the paperwork. So I don't think that Mind Springs, which doesn't speak to the news media, they speak to one outlet in Grand Junction. Their board, which just doesn't speak at all, really gets how fed up people are with this litany of problems over there. So There's a lot of promise in this reform package and this new direction the state says it's taking, but, you know, in our reporting, we found there have been several times throughout the 60-year history of the safety net system where the public has been told everything is changing and we're on it, more transparency, more accountability, and it hasn't happened. So I think, you know, it's natural to feel some skepticism and hope as well.
Susan Green is a reporter, editor, and coach for the Colorado News Collaborative. She's led CoLab's ongoing investigative series, The Edge, about Colorado's mental health system. Susan, thanks for being here, and thanks for all of your reporting.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, Alexis. Thanks.
For KGNU, I'm Alexis Kenyon.